Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Asian Avengers. So weak.
The Asian Avengers. So weak. So fuckable, bro. You know? Whoa. There's 5 Asian guys together.
Together. Did you ever go through a stealing phase?
Do I think everyone should have a gun? Maybe.
Or you can look me up. I don't care. I'll fight you. I don't care.
You want to get high as fuck? You like opium?
And welcome back to another episode of Asian Not Asian Podcast, a podcast where two Asian guys not from Asia talk about American issues no American cares about. I'm your host, Fumi Abe.
And I'm Mike Nguyen.
Today is December 19th, only a few days away from Christmas. We hope you are doing well. If you're listening to this on your phones right now, please take a screenshot, post it on Instagram stories, tag us at Asian Not Asian Pod, and tell your friends about it. It's it feels really good to have people retweet us. That's how that's my therapy. You know, that's how I get content with stuff. And if you're iTunes listeners, please leave a review. And we also got some merch. Okay, if you order it now, it will not get to your house by Christmas. It's just not. But just do it anyways. Maybe you're Asian, you know, maybe you like New Year's. Maybe it's a New Year's gift. So just go to AsianNotAsianPod.com.
Oh, yeah. Get it for the year 3872. Or get that whatever shit. It is going to be in.
So
in the future.
Get yourself an Asian Not Asian hoodie. If you put it on, guaranteed someone will suck your dick. That is a promise. And we don't usually do this, but there are 2 Patreon people who complained that we never gave them a shout out when we totally fucking did. So shout out to Jordan Luong, Alaska Tran, for being babies. Okay, we're giving you a shout out at the top of the podcast. But if you want a shout out, please join us on patreon.com/AsianNotAsianPod, and we'll give you.
I remember
a shout out on the
doing
podcast.
Alaska. It was.
Yeah,
I feel
totally
Alaska
did
has
it.
Also come to the has also come to our Hack City show.
Yes, I think she just wanted some extra attention, and I'm here for it, really.
And you know, Jordan is a comic, a New York comic, and now in Hong Kong, and also it was the subject. Oh wait, now I don't know if I can say it.
I don't think you can.
Okay,
I don't know what you're about to say.
Okay, I can't say it. But Jordan, you know, has been a critical supporter on the show.
Yeah.
So shouts to him. Maybe one day when. The world isn't on fire, we can all hang out again. But until then, thanks for the Patreon support.
Until then, stay in Hong Kong and stay safe. Shit's wild over there, bro.
Shit's crazy.
Like, what are you doing on Patreon? Like, get a gun or something. I don't know how that
get
works.
Get a gun.
I don't know why you're giving us $5 a month. Anyways, story of the week. You know, we have reunited. Mike and I were away for 2 weeks consecutively.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And we were promiscuous with their podcast. He did a podcast with somebody else, and I did a podcast with somebody else. And we just released it under the Asian Not Asian name because we are lazy. And it's always interesting when we split and do different podcasts because I feel like it feels like Outkast, you know, the Love Below, Speaker Box 3000. You know, like it's same album, different flavors.
Yes, for sure. We kind of did our own solo projects for a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Where I became kind of like a mixed media artist, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, and then mm-hmm. You became like you like dropped like a chopped and screwed mixtape. You know, and
yes,
and you know, we had our own thing because you had Hannah on, and that was a crazy episode.
Yep,
you guys talked about some real shit.
Talk about STDs, getting herpes in quarantine. It's,
yeah,
it's
getting
crazy.
Herpes. You know, which is very Fumi. Fumi is very herpes.
I got I don't have herpes, but I've got a herpes energy. If that makes sense.
You should have herpes.
I should. People are like, how is that not?
How do you not have?
Yeah,
herpes?
How is that guy so clean? And it's because I shower every day. Okay.
And then that's not how herpes works. And then I went full Little Saigon with
you.
Me,
really did. You really
me
did.
Me and Antriot, we talked about, we became a couple of Quy Pups and we were just so Vietnamese. We did the whole thing. People don't know this. In the FOB squad, in the Asian, we did the whole thing. Smoking outside of a dim sum restaurant. That's the energy we brought, which was cool. I mean, it's totally fine because we both have our separate things. And you said it the best, you know, we're kind of like Transformers. I don't know if you know this Transformer. Do you know Soundwave?
No, that sounds like the Transformer who didn't make the cut. What the
no,
fuck?
No, dude, he's the best one. Okay, so he's He's a transformer. I think that's his name. Where he has like smaller transform. He becomes a boombox, and he has smaller transformers that are cassette tapes that are inside of him. And then he goes like, eject, eject, and he, like one of them shoots out of his chest and like becomes like a dog.
Wait,
or something
is he part of the Optimus Prime character or is he just somebody else?
He is a Decepticon. He's the right hand man. He's a bad guy. Mm. He's a right hand man of like the main guy, and anyway, so we're like that. We're like smaller transformers, and we can like join together to become like another kind of transformer, and it's so fire.
Yes, sir. And you know what? It's always interesting like watching you do podcasts with other people, because it truly is a different podcast. I mean, it was very East Asian American Studies vibes. It was very educational, very low
Southeast
energy.
Asian.
It got inappropriate a little bit, but like, you know, when I do it on my own, it just gets wild. You know, we're talking. Seeing a Zoom gynecologist, we're talking herpes, we're talking anal, like it's like everything's on the table. But when you do it, you're just like, let's talk about the war, you know. And I think
let's talk about two things. We're talking about egg rolls. We're talking about the war.
I know. And it's like sometimes I listen to your podcast and I'm like, why? How are we doing the same podcast together? Like, we clearly are different vibes, but it somehow 100%, works.
100% different vibes.
Yeah, but you know what? Something like that. So the reason why we did a certain podcast is because I was filming something with Comedy Central in LA, and I was in this bubble, we call it the viral house, and I was in Palm Springs in this house with other creative people for a whole week, and it was fun. It was mainly white people. I had one black friend, Devin, shout out to him, he saved my life. But we're gonna get him on the pod
at some point.
Absolutely. And I want to tell this one story before I bring up her guest, and I want to ask her for her opinion. But something kind of weird happened where, like, I guess I want to start here by saying when I grew up in Ohio, didn't have a lot of Asian friends for a very long time. And now I have a lot of Asian friends. I have a lot of POC friends. And I mean, I guess I talk about like race a lot. I didn't really think about it. It just kind of comes up, not in a way that's like, we must kill the white man. You know, it's more just like,
that's my vibe. Yeah.
It just kind of comes up, you know, it's like, oh, white people, whatever. I don't know. It's just part of my vocabulary now. I think about it a lot. I think about the racial structure in this country now that everything's crazy with the protests and everything like that. And I was in this house with mainly white people. And there was a girl, I'll just say it was Hannah. And she was kind of complaining about how shitty straight guys are, which is fact. I'm not disputing that.
Guilty as charged.
We are very shitty. I mean, literally 5 minutes ago, Mike sent me a Fleshlight for Christmas. We are shitty.
That was actually the best thing I could have done for you. Like, I thought about someone else. See, that's usually not how straight guys are.
That's true. But like, and I get it, but the way she was describing her guys, it sounded very like fratty white guy to me. So I said, Hannah, I was like, Hannah, like, I don't mean this in a weird way, and it's totally cool if you feel this way, because I know that when people have preferences with dating, oftentimes it's kind of like a product of the environment or something, or the media. So like, I'm not faulting you as a person, but have you ever dated a non-white guy? And we were in a hot tub and I killed the vibe. We were high, we were eating edibles, drinking beer, and I killed the vibe. And I didn't think I asked anything that I didn't think I said anything that crazy, but everybody was like, all the white people were like doing this with their eyes. You know when white people do this?
I've seen it.
You know what, white people do that? And I'm like, what do you do? No. I didn't say the N-word. Like, what is happening? And they're like, they were like, okay. And like, awkward. And I was like, it's not awkward. It's like an actual question, because I feel like I'm not saying Asian guys and Latin guys and black guys are better, but I'm just saying like, maybe like, It'll just be different, you know?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Worse in a different way.
In a different way.
We're
like,
just as bad, but
for
just
sure.
Different.
Like,
for
my
sure.
dad has a second family, but that's different. But my dad did not give my mom herpes, you know what I'm saying? So that's what I was trying to bring up. I was like, you see, maybe you can play around with different kinds of bad straight guys. Anyways, I made it awkward. And I guess this is a thing I've been thinking about a lot, is like, when I bring up race in this like kind of, I thought I was bringing it up in a fun way. I was like, haha, interracial. What a interesting thing.
Yeah,
ha-ha,
we're in a hot tub.
Yeah,
what a great time! What a great time to, what a great time to deal with race issues. You know, like, hey, I just took 5 milligrams of THC and I'm sitting in a hot tub. Hey, you want to talk about racism?
Yeah. You want to talk about the civil rights movement? You know, now that when you say it like that, I think I was in the wrong. I'll be honest. I gotta apologize.
It could be a good energy. I think also because you're kind of like talking about dating. You know, I think it's an interesting question.
I think race is funny sometimes in the context of dating. That's why I brought it up.
Yo, literally, this, I mean, race is so funny. We have a whole pod. We have our careers based off
that's
of it.
That's what I'm
so
saying.
That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, but nobody kind of, like, pursued that. Like, she didn't say anything. Did she say, like, oh, yeah, I did or I didn't? Or
she
whatever.
Was like,
I don't know if that's better or worse.
It's funny because she, like, made me feel like shit, but then her first response was like, well, do Indian guys count? I'm like, yes, that's the like, that is the continent of it. You know, you know what I'm saying? So,
oh, my God, I wish I could just call up Pranav right now and you know, get a lifeline. You know, yeah. And just be like, hold on here. Do Indian guys count? And
that's the thing. That's what I think. It's like, oh, you think I made it weird? Like, you're the one fucking saying, do Indian guys count as humans? I don't know.
I don't know.
So, yeah. Anyways, but I want to talk about this more with our guest. I'm so excited we were able to get her. And honestly, a quick shout out to our producer, Fawn. Like, ever since we brought her on, the podcast has been amazing, and we've been able to get amazing guests. So our guest today, she's an actress, comedian, rapper, lover of hats. She plays Alice on the TV show Good Trouble, available on Hulu. Check it out. And every time I tell my Asian friend from LA that I do comedy, they always ask me if I know this person. And her biggest credit, she has an amazing Vietnamese accent. Okay, and Mike is Vietnamese, and we're going to honestly put that to the test. So guys, give it up for the hilarious Sherry Cola.
Yo!
Hey!
I love how, like, you said, I can't believe we got her, like, as if I'm so exclusive. Like, not at all.
No, Pokemon. You're famous!
Pokemon! Yeah,
you
we got
famous.
You! Get in the ball! Yeah.
Oh, Jodak Oi! Jodak Oi!
Whoa, you do know some Vietnamese.
Yo, I was watching a stand-up set that you did, and then you were doing this, like, joke, and your punchline is that you do an accent, but the twist is that it's not even a Chinese accent. It's a Vietnamese accent.
Right.
Yeah, and
right.
I was like, it sounds good, and Mike is a fan of Vietnamese accent. He's very fair.
I love Vietnamese accents.
He doesn't care if you're Vietnamese. If it's good, then he'll give you the pass. So I just wanted to give you that opportunity.
The reason why I do that is because I have an accent joke, and recently I got some shit for it, and I got into this whole thing on TikTok about it. Some fucker. Anyway, but I do an accent, and then I flip it, and I go, "That's not a Vietnamese accent," because I can't do one. I just do a generic Asian accent, which honestly, I think I got from a white guy. So works out.
Yeah.
I grew up with Vietnamese peeps in the 626, so I just like
there you go
absorbed it, and that one is just like easier to do than the Chinese one for some reason because I'm Chinese. I'm Shanghainese, and I don't even really know how to do the Chinese accent. Because that's my mom. You know, is that an accent?
Yeah.
That's just mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I feel my mom doesn't have an accent because I'm so used to listening to her.
Yeah.
Like, she just is just, that's just how my mom talks, and she speaks totally fine. And everybody else is like, has a weird accent. And I'm like, what's
going
on?
Dude, I remember, like, when I first started comedy, somebody asked me, like, oh, why don't you do, like, an impression of your mom or something? And I couldn't do it because you're right, like, my mom is just my mom. Like, I don't think anybody else really speaks like that, and that's just how she talks. And also, I guess she speaks to me in Japanese, but yeah, it is weird that, like, we wouldn't perceive that as a foreign thing, you know?
That's
like,
yeah,
that's a good point.
Yeah,
it's kind of funny thinking like we're delusional and we think our parents have perfect English.
Amazing.
Perfect English. Well, yeah, even growing up, like, I would pronounce things wrong. Like, I would say, like, Jamba Juice, you know, or like, I remember the word.
That's right.
Wait.
I mean, if you're from Ohio, right. People would say Jamba Juice. Yeah.
I guess you're right. That's not my biggest offense. That wasn't my biggest. it's triggering. But yeah, I definitely love the Vietnamese act. It'll come out in a little bit.
All right.
That's a conversation as well. Like, whether Asians can do other Asian accents.
Ooh.
I talk about it with Antriot, I think, a little bit, and it really does come down to how good is it.
Yes.
Because if it's really good,
right?
Who's the famous comedian who does it, and she is not Asian at all?
Angela Johnson.
Angela Johnson is pretty good.
Yeah.
Where, like, it Vietnamese
really
people.
Good.
we'll protest, but then we'll also DM her and be like, that was pretty solid. And then, but then also protest, you know? So, yeah.
Right. But also that was, I remember when that went viral and I was like so into it, that was in like 06, you know? So yeah. It was also a different time, a different time.
100%.
You know what I mean? Same thing with Miss Swan, for example. Like I fucking love shit. You know, I fucking love that shit. But then later on I was like, oh, she's not Asian? I thought she was. You know what I mean? You know, like she did it so well.
You know what's crazy about Miss Swan? And speaking of like kind of not seeing the Asian accent sometimes, for a while, I mean, for a long time, I would see the Miss Swan character and she would be doing her thing. And I didn't realize she was supposed to be Korean. I was like, oh, I thought maybe she's just like drunk or something. I didn't strike me as like, wow, maybe it's also because I was like, this is like so off Korean that I was, you know what I'm saying? I was just like, oh, this is just like a drunk lady. I was like, I didn't get it. Also, her name is Miss Swan. I was like, this is so weird.
Wait, I didn't know who she was, so I Googled her and now I recognize her from Mad TV. It's, first of all, it's so, Mad TV, shout out to Mad TV for taking a lot of chances on Asian material back in the day.
You know? Bobby,
yeah.
But also, yes. why didn't they just have Bobby play this?
Right.
That's
right,
a great point.
That's how hard it was for Asian guys to get cast. They couldn't even get cast as their own people. They're like, we're gonna take this other white comedian. He does a better Asian impression than you.
Have you, Sherry? Thanks for coming on. You know,
thanks
have you ever experienced something like what Fumi is talking about, sitting in a hot tub and killing the vibe by starting to talk about race and dating?
I have been in a hot tub full of people and I killed the vibe because I farted.
that'll do it. Wait, the Jets weren't on?
The Jets weren't on.
You are so bold. You're so bold.
Starting your own Jets. Yep.
Yep. I figured, you know, I'm very efficient. Let me get it going myself. self-power Jets. I'm very eco-friendly, okay?
Yeah, dude.
No, but I'll be honest. Yeah, I think I'm the same in terms of like, do constantly throw out the white people thing. Like, I probably say, like, white people at least once a day. you know what I mean? Because we're so used to, especially now that the conversations have opened up a little bit, we're so aware of, like, the differences in a sense of, like, you know, like, for you, it's like, oh, have you ever, you know, thought about dating a non-white guy? Because for us, people of color is the better option, right? Just like,
yeah,
naturally, right? Immediately, yeah. and like straight dudes are the worst, and we think white straight dudes are even worse. You know what I mean? Like, and that's just like with us. That's like our you know mission statement in our brain. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, mission statement.
But it's not, that's not the case, especially for white people. So they're like, oh shit, like, and also fuck, like we just like. It's a lot. It's a lot to unpack. We've been so stereotypically like seen as the people who don't speak up. So suddenly this Asian guy in the hot tub is calling me out. What the hell is going on?
Yeah.
What the hell is going on?
I just had 5 milligrams. All of a sudden, one of these Asian guys, I didn't even think you were real. You know? I thought you were a figment of my imagination. And just suddenly someone's talking to me about it.
Dude.
Damn.
I never thought about it like that. It's like, why am I even talking? Who is this guy?
Yeah.
Dude, that is so offensive, but totally makes sense. I guess the other thing is like, you know, for us, okay, if I say the word dating, interracial is already in the foremind because chances are you may date somebody who's not Asian. That is a high probability. That's my default. So I don't think it's weird to bring it up. And I did not bring it up to call anyone. It was a question. Just like, hey, maybe you just don't date outside your race or whatever, you know? And it turned out that she was fucking an Indian guy. So, hey, shout out for that because like Indian guys are really hot now. So that's great.
I don't know if they count though. We haven't actually gotten
official.
Wait, hello?
The judges are still...
I'm on the phone with the ethnic, national ethnic. Yeah, they count.
What's that? Judges are saying, yes, they are going to allow it. They are going to allow it.
Yeah.
Unless his name is Bobby. No Bobbies. Yeah.
No Bobby Patels.
Well, no, but where did he grow up? Where did he watch? Did he watch The Simpsons growing up? Okay. I like how he did.
Okay. Wait, we're getting word that he went to Rutgers. Okay, this is great. Okay, perfect.
I like how the fake company that I made up was the National Ethnic.
Yeah. What is this?
Yeah, there's no
you could come up with.
There's like, no noun.
Excuse me.
There's no Hello. Noun.
National Ethnic. Like kind of like Con Edison, you know, is a the National Ethnic. Yeah, the meter is saying that there's not enough people of color in here. Yeah, because you send a guy. Yeah, thanks.
Wait, is that a magazine we're going to start right now? I think so.
The National Ethnic.
National Geographic, step the fuck off stage.
Hey.
Because National Ethnic is coming for you. But yeah, I mean, there's so many layers to this hot tub moment.
Hot tub and moment.
Oh, is that another spinoff? Okay, there's so much going on.
That's a great
right
one.
Now.
Yeah,
there's so much going on. I'm always pitching. I feel like there's just so many layers. Yeah, it's like, and also white people love to do that whole like, okay, awkward.
Yeah.
Excuse me for trying to have a real conversation. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Thank you. No, thank you.
It's a lot. And trust me, I get it. But at the same time, there's a lot of layers.
I think people of color, we can do the thing when we talk about race where it can be really serious and we can, you know, we can call up National Ethnic and make it very, you know, like, okay, we're going to have a serious conversation about race relations, but we can also have a thing where it's just like, you know, let's just talk about it, with the stakes a little lower, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Where we talk about like, oh, you know, fucking Japanese people this and Chinese people that and blah, blah, blah. And we kind of just like kind of have fun with it, especially if we know each other. I mean, we're all like different Asians and we're still talking about the hot tub, you know? So that's what we're about, you know?
I mean, it's also, and we can go on for 24 hours about this, but it's also because we're in that weird middle space as well. There's people from the outside see us like they one don't take us seriously to have real opinions sometimes, so it's like I didn't expect that from you, like like you're calling me out about race, I trusted you. Like, you know what I mean?
I brought you into my hot tub, okay? you know? I trusted you with my hot tub.
What the fuck, bro?
What happened, like, man? You know?
Oh, you're a woke Asian. Get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't know. There's so much, you guys. Like, this is like, there's this hot tub moment can be unpacked for days. But also, it was just this innocent moment. You know what I mean? Of course, you know, we're going really deep. But yeah, it was an innocent moment where you were just like, well, you know, you're clearly like talking. Well, was she complaining? I forgot. Was she complaining about her boyfriend?
Well, it wasn't her boyfriend. It's just dating, and her complaints are valid. I think straight guys are very terrible. In the last episode, she told a story about how she got herpes during quarantine because she was like kind of seeing this guy for a little bit. You know, she went to his birthday party. Things were getting intimate, one night didn't have a condom, and she asked him. She was like, you know, have you gotten tested? And he said, yes, I haven't slept with anybody during quarantine without a condom. And it turns out that he fucked five girls raw during quarantine. He lied to her and gave her herpes. You know, and
five
like
girls.
And, that's what I'm saying, but it's like in the context of the pandemic, that is insane to lie to somebody. You know, you would think that like even the shitty straight guy would be like, well, you know, we gotta be careful now because like the world has changed. But like that was the kind of theme of the episode, is like guys are shitty.
Jeez.
And I get her complaint, but I was just like, you know, like I said before, like, hey, Asian guys, we're shitty in different ways, and maybe you want a little flavor of that, you know.
Yeah, that's so fucked up. This guy fucked five girls, and then Hannah, she just got like, it's almost like it was a stamp card, but like a shitty stamp card.
The 6-1-8 herpes.
You get free herpes, dog.
Free herpes after the 6 stamp.
Yeah.
Wow. Congrats.
Wow. First of all, shout out to Hannah. I don't know you, and I'm just talking about the situation in general. Love you. I hope to meet one day. They cornered me. This is a virtual hot tub, and they fucking cornered me.
Yeah, dude. Welcome to the hot tub. We're hanging out, and we're gonna throw these jets at you. I can't believe you farted in this hot tub.
Yeah, what the fuck, bro?
Yo.
But
I love it.
It's a lot.
Before we go on to the other thing we wanted to talk about, we just wanted to get to know you just a little bit. You know, I think a lot of our fans know who you are. Again, every time, you know, Fumi mentions that he does comedy, people ask if he knows you. We now know you, which is great. But you know, for our fans who maybe don't know you and aren't familiar with your work, you know, like you know, how would you sort of describe yourself? You have a lot of hats. I mean, literally and figuratively. Yes. Yes.
That was such a fucking CNN interview way to ask. You wear a lot of hats.
You wear a lot of hats. I mean, I guess. Also, do you have herpes? I have no idea how else I'm supposed to ask this question.
So is this a first date? I don't have herpes. But the night is young.
Get into this hot tub. Yeah.
But there's a hot tub waiting for me. After this. First of all, I wear a lot of hats because my hair is always dirty. That's the secret here. Like, literally, it is so oily under here. You could actually stir fry something in my hat.
Wow.
But you just gotta stay on brand. Gotta stay stir fry once a day.
Hey.
First of all, it's funny that y'all called me a rapper in my intro, because like I did this character Lil Tasty, and like she's very dear to my heart. But rapper is such a funny, strong word, because I freestyle and I rap for fun. But like, to call me rapper, thank you. Now I can
rapper. Now
I can put that in my bio finally, because someone validated it. I grew up in the 626. I was born in Shanghai. So, you know, growing up in the San Gabriel Valley, I did grow up with a lot of Asians. Just fun facts, it's not a fucking competition. Okay, it's not a fucking competition. yada yada. I did college radio and I fell in love with that. Oh. So I do have a background in radio. I eventually was on air at Amp Radio, 97.1 FM here in LA.
Shit.
Carson Daly, y'all know Carson Daly. He kind of like...
Oh, from TRL.
Yes, yeah, OG. He was the morning host. And like he basically figured out that I was doing stand-up, and I had Lil Tasty that went viral. And I was still just like doing the minimum wage job, like street team stuff, social media stuff, like things in the building. And basically he's like, wait, why aren't we using this girl? Like, you know, like she's in the building. Shit. Like, you know. So I did some comedic stuff with them in the morning show, and then eventually I got my own show on Sunday nights. But while I was there, I did start doing stand-up and, like, went to UCB and all that stuff, and then eventually started acting. So all this, it just all was this beautiful little transition when I left radio. I started doing more acting, and stand-up has always been a constant in the journey, if you will.
Yeah, I heard you on I'm sorry, keep going. I cut you off.
No, I have nothing. And then I die one day.
Listen, Mike, you know me on the podcast, I like to laugh like an insane person, spread joy through jokes and inappropriate comments. But is that how I feel on the inside in 2020? Absolutely not, Mike.
No, man.
It's a dark mess in here, dude. Sometimes I'm really sad. Sometimes I'm a little depressed. I'm really stressed, you know, and I think a lot of people with the pandemic, they're not really sure about job security, and that's a huge source of stress for a lot of people. And I think if any of our listeners feel this way, they should check out our sponsor, BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist.
Connect in a safe and private online environment. It's so convenient.
You can start communicating in under 24 hours.
This isn't self-help, it's professional counseling.
Send a message to your counselor anytime.
You'll get timely and thoughtful responses, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions.
Woo! All without ever having to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room. You know how those waiting rooms can be, bro.
BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if you need it.
And it's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available.
Licensed professional counselors who specialize in depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, anger, family conflicts, LGBT matters, grief, and self-esteem.
I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/Asian. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/Asian.
But and currently I'm on the show Good Trouble, which I'm so fucking proud of. And we're shooting season 3 right now, and hopefully it's coming out soon, because it's that bitch. Good Trouble is that bitch. And I really hope that I have a feeling this season is going to be the one that sweeps the world off their feet. No, not
oh shit, really? Okay, yep.
Not to hype it up, but anyway, yeah.
I watched the pilot. I was like very impressed with your acting skills. You're like, you're the real deal.
Listen, John M. Chu directed that shit. Come on now.
Oh shit! Wait. Yeah. I'm sorry. Is that the Crazy Rich Asian guy?
Yes. So John okay, M. Chu. Okay. Like, it was just a dream because this was before Crazy Rich even came out. But like, we knew Crazy Rich Asians was coming out. We knew about it. This was probably, I think Crazy Rich Asians came out 2017,
I think.
Oh, August 2017 or 18? I don't know. August of that, whatever year that. Oh, it was 18. Yeah. It was 18. August 2018. And then, so then I booked Good Trouble in May of 2018. And then my manager called me and was like, John M. Chu is directing the pilot. I was like, are you fucking serious?
That's
like,
this crazy. Is, like, that's awesome.
Who's been reading my diary? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it was just so dope being able to work with him on my first, my first series regular role. And, like, he was just so cool. And, like, Crazy Rich Asians was about to come out. It was such a time. It's such a time, you know? And it's still even more of a time now. It just keeps getting elevated. Like, you know, Asians in the industry, Asians like us, like, connecting and really building this community and, like, you know, just kind of not taking no for an answer. And I feel like we've become so unapologetic in the last, like, 3 years. It's a beautiful thing, and it's growing more and more. Sorry, is this a panel?
I love the fire.
Yep, we're out here. We're ruining white people's times in hot tubs.
100%.
We are.
100%.
Well, speaking of being unapologetic, I read, you know, one of my research, one of the research points that our producer put out is that, like, you know, you have this. So I watched the pilot. You play this a queer landlord person, and you kind of use that as a way to, like, come out to your mom, right?
Right. So basically,
in real life.
Oh yes, in real life. So I am bisexual. My character is a lesbian, and me being bisexual, this has been, like, a life thing, you know? Like, whenever the hell I realized it and kind of came to terms with it. And, like, my close circle knows or knew. I'm sorry. My close circle knew, and I lived my life very freely, in a sense. But my mom never knew. And, like, my mom and I are so close to each other. Like, she's literally my rock. And, like, I'm for me, the measurement of success is not money or fame. It's literally making my mom proud. Like, that is truly, you know, the fact that we're immigrants. The fact that we're immigrants. The fact that, like, you know, she came to this country and, like, just worked hard to make sure that I had a good life. You know what I mean? Like, she's still working. You know, she has a restaurant. And, like, she's still working freaking day to night, you know? Obviously, she doesn't have to worry about me now. But that was always her goal, to give her, like, only child, you know, a good life. And for me, I'm like, okay, we came to this fucking country, and it cannot be. I refuse for it to be for no reason, you know? I refuse to be ordinary. I refuse to give us an ordinary life because, you know, because my mom lived a pretty ordinary life, if you will. And, like, you know, she did what she had to do. But I want more for us because we deserve more. And, like, the fact that now she can see, like, her daughter on a fucking billboard, this is, like, exceeding all of our expectations, you know? And I just want to keep doing it. And, like, it just means the world. Anyway, love my mom. Point is, we're so fucking close. And, of course, I had my rebellious years where, like, you know, we had differences. But, like, dating was never talked about, let alone sexuality, right? I can't speak for all Asian households, but, like, for me, it's, like, it was kind of a thing. I don't know. One time my mom asked me, like, wait, so when you see a man, like, do you feel anything?
My mom said that. Wait, what? What does she mean by that?
Because, like, she all of her friends, like, have, grandchildren already. Like, all of her friends.
Oh, where?
You know, their kids are already, like, you know, living life, married and all that stuff. And this was a few years back, of course, before I told her I was bisexual. But my point is, like, she always thought I was still, like, a kid who just didn't understand love and relationships, even though I have been, like, listen, I was out here. You know what I mean? Like, I was dating.
You're fine. For sure. I feel that's a very Asian parent move to, like, your children are not sexual beings. They are children. And then... They go from being kids straight into being a wife or husband.
Yeah.
Directly.
Like,
Yeah.
100%. There's no in between. It's like, don't
There's nothing
date.
In between.
Yeah. You can't date because studies are the priority. And then all of a sudden, yep. it's like, why aren't you married? Like, time is right. ticking. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're a zygote yeah. and you yeah. go directly into exactly. producing more zygotes. exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, it was just so. Anyway, so basically, it was just never really talked about. But I was out here, like, of course, in my actual life, and I think naturally, Asian or not Asian, just keeping your parents out of your business is a thing. You know what I mean? So I was just like, you know, I was dating. I was out here. I was living my damn life. You know, thankfully, dodged herpes. And I just never really told my mom because, I don't know, it's almost like you missed that mark. I didn't tell
you. You feel too old, maybe. You
yeah,
know what I mean? Is that what it is?
Right.
Yeah, you're like an adult now. Yeah.
Because it's like, well, when I was 17, I didn't tell her. When she blatantly asked me a question, too, which is so funny. I had a high school boyfriend named Yusuf. Shout out to Yusuf. Where are you? I can't find you on Instagram.
let's call National Ethnic. Hello, National Ethnic. I'm trying to find.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find Yusuf.
Yeah. Palestinian. Five foot nine.
P for Palestinian.
But yeah, like I remember having a boyfriend, like straight up, like I was dating this guy in high school, and basically it was prom night, and we didn't go to prom because I was like, Sherry doesn't dance, like that was like the whole thing, and, like whatever.
Oh shit!
That was like, you know, on
that is 100%. I totally relate to you as far as like a strange non-trait is your trait. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't eat broccoli. Okay, that's my thing.
That's my brand.
Everybody knows Mike doesn't eat broccoli.
It was the headline of the school newspaper. Like, Sherry doesn't fucking dance. Like, whispers in the hallway. Which was so ironic. So ironic because I was, another thing you'd never expect, I was on pep. I was technically a cheerleader. And like, so I did do dancing things. And of course, right today, I like dance. I won't stop dancing. But in a
senior with a hat
year,
like that? Yeah.
Honey. With a hat like that, you got to do a little bit of that.
You
got to
do a little bit of that. That's how I feel. That's how like 626 Asians say hello to each other now.
Finger touching.
Like, what's good? Hey, man, what's good? What's good?
Hey,
what's good?
Hey,
you good? Hey, man. Hey, yeah. Where are you going? Home Depot? Okay, that's cool.
Oh, okay. You California
anyways.
Asians.
Anyways, okay. So you were not dancing.
Right, so basically in 2007, I was a non-dancer. Anyway, so my point is, Yusuf and I ended up hanging out on prom night, right? And that's when he asked me to be his girlfriend and like all that stuff. My first kiss, my first real kiss, 17, cute. Maybe 16, 17? 17. Point is, I go home, and because my mom has a restaurant, she's had this restaurant since I was in fifth grade. A lot of the mothers of my classmates went to the restaurant, you know, so they would chat, whatever. So I go home and my mom asked me, she's like, wait, wasn't there like a prom? Or I don't know if she said the word prom, but like, wasn't there like an event tonight for all the whatever? Because like whatever, you know, Esther's mom told me, she came to the restaurant, she told me. And I was like, yeah. And she was like, how come you didn't go? I think she even joked, like, you could have found your husband. I swear, I think she said that. In my memory, she said that. But, like, in that moment, I could have said, oh, actually, like, I didn't go, but I went on a date, and, like, I have a boyfriend now. Like, I could have said that. Because clearly she opened that door. She opened that door to, like, let it be allowed, you know? Because she joked, like, why didn't you go? You could have met your husband, you know? But I didn't. And you know, I always think about that moment. And, like, it's so weird. I don't know. I can't explain it. Like, why is it so weird to, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I want to talk about that for a second. Yeah.
That was my chance.
Yeah, I mean, like,
you know, and like now, anyway, yeah.
It is for sure. Like, I feel like a lot of me, Asian people just, first of all, my parents never gave me the talk. Did they give you guys the talk? The sex talk?
Well, they gave me the talk, but I mean, it's different for my mom. My mom's a nurse. My mom's a nurse, but that's sort of the thing is that like she was like confronted with it like all the time.
Yeah. And I mean, so when she says penis, she probably doesn't giggle, right? Because she sees it all the time at the hospital, you know? Like, she's right. used to these vocabularies and shit right. like that.
Well,
you know?
I think she also knew that I was just, like, out, you know, I was, like, I had a high school girlfriend, and I had, like, right. all this stuff, and she yeah. could just tell that I was, like, this was really important to me, you know?
Like, that's sex.
I was, like, real horny, you know?
Get your dick wet.
She was just like, listen, I've seen it with my eyes. If I don't talk to him about this, he will knock someone up. So here are a shit ton of condoms. And I know it's weird. Just do it. Just like, I don't give a fuck.
I don't love it.
Okay. It's not, it wasn't good or bad. It was just how my family sort of yeah, dealt with it. But at the same time, I do feel that, you know, as you know, Asia, like the sort of always the counterpoint I always think about it with white people is like, you know how when white people say, my mom is my best friend.
Yeah.
I always think that's like, I get it. Like, I love my mom, but my mom is not my best friend. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
My best friend. Yeah. My best friend and I, we smoke weed and then we go to the train tracks. You
but
know?
They
like,
do that with white parents. White people yes. smoke weed with their parents.
They call them by their first name. It's crazy. Yeah. You know? So like,
right. I'm not sending screenshots of memes to my mom. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly. My mom would be so pissed. She's like, yeah. Oh, listen, this is costing me money. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I remember, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say it's cool that Mike got the talk. Like, I didn't really get the
yeah.
talk.
Yeah.
But I get that. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. Like, my mom did when I went to college. Because I did live there. I went to Fullerton, not that far away from.
Yeah, Fullerton, baby. Woo-woo.
Temple City. Yeah, shout out. Titans. No. She was like, "Don't have a baby." That's what she said in Chinese.
That's her sex talk.
Yeah. She was like, "Don't have a baby." Like, as she closes the door.
There you go. There you go.
You know what I mean?
She puts up. I put it on a T-shirt for you.
Yeah. Don't have a baby. You know, but that was really it until the coming out scene. But you, Fumi, you say what you were going to say first.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I totally relate with you because my mom has, you know, joked about, because my mom was like, so my dad's a real nerd. He's an engineer. I don't think he was getting laid in high school. My mom was his first girlfriend, actually. So oh, I shit. Think he was just like a nerd. He went to a good school, all that shit. My mom didn't even go to college. She was like in a band. She has a lot of friends. Like, she plays piano. She's cool. She used to be cool.
Huh.
And I remember, like, I think for a while she wanted that relationship with me. So when I was younger, like, girls would call my house, right? And I would be so embarrassed. I would hang up and be like, oh, it was the wrong number. Like, I was so
right.
uncomfortable
right.
at the, I didn't want my mom to know I had female friends or anything like that. And like, so we never talked about it. But the only time we talked about sex is one time my mom found out that my sister, my younger sister, she's like, we're like 2 years apart. She was having sex with her boyfriend. Okay. Mm. This is in high school. She was, must've been 16. I was probably like 17. And my mom freaked out because, you know, she's an immigrant mom. My sister had a white boyfriend. She was like, how do I talk to like white teenagers about this sex and stuff? And she, you know, she just didn't know. Like, she knows in her mind, white American boys are wild. They're like animals to her. She's like, I don't know how to, you know, what else is he doing to my daughter? Is he eating her ass? Like, this is wild.
Right,
so she tried to like confide in me about it once. And she was like, she pulled me aside. She's like, listen, I'm going to talk to Andrew. That was his name. I'm going to talk to Andrew, but I don't know how to talk to American teenagers about sex. Like, do you have any advice? And I remember being like, I am a virgin. Like, I have no idea what the fuck. I'm trying to figure this out myself. So, in fact, if you talk to Andrew, let me in on that convo because I'm trying to, let's get to the bottom of this. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do I have sex? Yeah.
Why didn't she talk to your sister about it? Did she talk to your sister about it?
She came to me first because she was really, really upset. Because she thought maybe they were practicing unsafe sex. She
Got
was
it.
Like, I remember one point she was like, she came to me with like a bunch of articles. She was like, I read on the internet that American teenage boys, if they see a hole, they want to put their dicks in it. I swear to God,
well,
she
what?
Said that.
Honestly, that's like,
I'm like,
when
you're
you
not
think
wrong.
About it,
you know?
When you think about it, your mom probably had like the white boy, like a show like Jackass. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh
yeah.
My God.
Is he putting fireworks up my daughter's pussy?
Yeah.
Like, what
yeah.
the fuck?
You know what I mean?
I'm just trying to imagine the NHK article that came out that had this in there. You know what I'm saying? Along with just like, okay, this is how the, you know, the Japanese stock market is doing. Also, be careful of white boys, okay?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Talk to your daughters about this.
Got a hole? Be careful.
Got a hole.
Yeah, it's really, we never really talked about sex, and like, I think a lot of people feel that way, and eventually, and to add to that, if you can't even talk about being horny, like not even sexuality, just being horny, add to that, you got to come out that you're bi or queer or trans, right, or whatever. I can't even go to that level because of how embarrassed I was that girls would call my house. You know, if I can't get to that level, how the fuck am I mean, I'm not any of those things, but if I were queer or whatever it is, like, I can't even fathom what that's like. And like, I don't know how that convo went down for you. I think we wrote down that it's, you said it was like an unfinished conversation or something like that, right?
There's also, and it's still an ongoing conversation. There's just so much to unpack, because I also want to say, like, the fact that you hung up immediately, it's almost like, and I'm just making this up as I go, because apparently I'm a psychologist, it's almost as if, like, our parents, like, the stereotype of Asians not feeling sexy, you know what I mean? Like, Asian men, especially, just because of the stereotypes, and it's fucked up, and, like, I know Asian men are sexy, but society, it's almost like, you in that moment, or we in that moment, like, don't think that we could be taken seriously as people who could love or, like, be wanted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, that's such a good point. And I think that's, you know, we've been talking about moms this whole time, but actually I think the reason why you may have felt embarrassed is because, you know, you don't have anything to model that off of, like, you know, from your dad, actually.
Right, right.
Your dad
right.
didn't have a, you know, you don't think of him
as like
as a sex person, you
right?
Know?
Right.
He had sex at least twice, I assume.
I'm still convinced I was like a tube baby, but
you're
know,
right.
Go
exactly.
Ahead.
Exactly. He just pinched you off of like a lump on his arm.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And that's,
I can't even picture him masturbating. I swear to God, I think my mom got his underwear
well,
and like
I don't think you should,
scraped
but okay,
off some pre cum or some shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I think, and then back to Sherry's point, I feel like. You know, you think of I was like watching some old Christmas show, a Christmas movie from like way back with like Judy Garland in it. It's like some black and white thing. And the whole thing is about how the daughter, this is like set, it's an old movie and it's set even further back. It's like set in the 1900s, you know, when white people could feel safe. The whole movie is really about the daughters marrying off to different people, and they're like teenagers in the movie, because of that's sort of how it is. But like the whole thing, even though it's not like explicit, is that these are daughters and there are boys, and the boys and the daughters are all like getting together at a party at the house, and they're all doing the white people dance.
Yeah.
And the
which
subtext
is, the, which
is that
is this
yes, exactly. You know,
what is it
like,
called? The train. What is it called when you put your hand on the shoulders?
Yeah, exactly.
What's it called?
The conga line.
The conga line. Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know, there's a subtext that, you know, there is dances and stuff like that, and we talk about prom. Yeah, exactly. But like, there's like a subtext that like these are sexual creatures doing stuff. This is the worst dancing I've ever seen. I'm not gonna bring it up. I have to stop for a second. But yeah, so for us, there's no Vietnamese prom, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's sort of like
bro,
there's
that's
no
so
way
deep.
To kind of do it.
That's so deep. I didn't even think
that's
about all
deep.
That. That's crazy.
Deep.
Think about
it's
it.
Deep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
hey, man.
It goes back to being represented, not even in videos of fucking, you know, educational videos. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. I don't know what we're talking about.
Is that what we're talking about?
Bottom line,
I got distracted for a second, I'll be honest, because I just keep thinking of like Mike's mom sitting him down. You know what, Mike? Just have the seat.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Hey.
I know that sometime you have the tingly feeling. Sometime you see the girl and you want to do the boom boom and bend over, touch the toe, open wide, maybe put, you know, the mouth, maybe you put the mouth on the vagina, maybe you put the mouth on the, you know what, the region that the sun do not shine, but I just want you to use
okay
protection.
I think I feel that this is a very very this is a very good dat fan, okay? Very good dat fan. Fantastic. You nailed it.
It is extremely exaggerated and like Actually, you know, it would actually be so funny.
There are some things Nookie in there Mom. You got though. Yeah.
Her name What's is that? Yeah. her oh, name yeah. is her name is Nookie Mom. Nookie Mom. And she could definitely teach like a sex ed for sure. Like for sure. That would be a fun video I need to do.
Wait, who right I'm now. Sorry, who is this? You cut out. Who is Deep Mom?
No, Nookie Mom. That what my name.
Oh, that's your character's name.
Is that based on fish
mom.
Sauce?
Yeah. So it's like yes. it was based on like fish Love sauce. It. Nookie Mom. Yeah, it's cute. Anyway, the point
I like
is
it.
yeah, I kind of went overboard a little bit. The thing is with her, like her and Lil Tasty are characters that like when I'm in it, I don't even know what, like the shit that comes out of their mouth surprises me sometimes. You know what I mean? Like,
I
improv a lot with Nookie Mom and like, you know what? Whatever happened, you know, like the Las Vegas. You know,
hey, like that. Yeah. Damn, dude, anyway, I just got anyway, that. Holy shit, that yeah, you sound just like one of my aunts just now. Oh my god, as soon as you say Las Vegas, something about Vietnamese accents and Las Vegas is just it goes perfect
La
together.
Vega.
So. Hey, that was perfect. Oh shit, let's get in the Civic and let's go there right now, dude.
Anyway, okay, national ethnic. it's offensive. They give it a 7 out of 10. 7 out of 10.
Yo, before I wrap up this interview session, I gotta ask you. I've been wanting to ask you. You did a podcast with Bobby Lee, Tiger Belly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
One of my favorite podcasts.
Love.
And you're kind of in this like cool Asian entertainment circle in LA. I feel like you did a show with Dumbfounded. I didn't even know Dumbfounded had a show with Sasha Grey, porn star. That's fucking amazing.
Love
for him. You know,
them. Love Dumb so much. Love him so much. Love Bobby. Love.
He's so
yeah,
great.
He's great.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to ask you like what that experience was like because I was listening to the podcast and he opens with how he was like threatened by you because you were like an up and coming Asian
comedian.
He's talking
about Bobby Lee. Yeah.
He's like threatened by your presence and it's so funny to me because he's like so famous already, you know? But like the neuroticness of a comedian like never ends when you're like 50 years old
yeah.
or whatever. You know? So what was that like meeting Bobby and all that?
First of all, I actually did meet Bobby like a couple years ago, like very briefly, and I would see him at the Comedy Store and stuff like that. But this was the official like first time actually spending time together. And I adore him. Truly, like immediately it was this big brother vibe, especially because if you listen to the entire podcast, he talked about like he liked me so much that one, he wants me to play his little sister. And two, he wanted to take me to Whitney Cummings' house in the podcast. He talks about it, right?
Oh, yes, so yes.
So we literally ended up going to Whitney Cummings' house. Like it happened like a few weeks after that, maybe a month after that or whatever. But like he still like, you know, he committed and wanted to introduce me to these comics that I haven't met before that I idolized, like Whitney Cummings, you know what I mean? So it was very like big brother from the jump. And it was just really dope. And he's so funny. But the threatened thing, I feel like he was half joking though. I mean, I feel like he was half joking. But that's the thing. And I was telling him, and like, it's funny because like he comes from a generation where there wasn't as much opportunity, right? We were just talking about how he wasn't even the one chosen to play Miss Swan, you know?
Let's give it to this other person. Yeah.
You know, but now, so I my perspective is this, you know, new generation of how there is more opportunity, you know, luckily, and how grateful I am to be in this industry at this time, you know what I mean? Because I am pretty green. Like, you know, when I was talking about the radio days and like me doing stand-up, starting to do stand-up officially for the first time, because obviously in high school I did a bunch of stuff like host a talent show and like make funny videos.
Right.
I did all that shit, but like because truly we weren't represented in Hollywood, I felt like that wasn't endgame, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But the point is, like, when I first started doing stand-up and when I got my radio show, when I first started acting and, like, Lil Tasty went viral, all that stuff, that was 2016. So I'm still pretty green and I feel really fucking grateful to be in this game at this time, you know? And, like, we don't know the struggles that Bobby Lee went through, you know, and like, you know, everyone that has been a trailblazer for us and really, you know, paved the way. Here I go. I always.
No, I get it.
No, I love
get
the fire.
It.
I love
I feel
the fire.
Too, I feel that, I like, you know, you're absolutely right. Like, I feel that everyone we just like move the ball down the field like 1 yard at a time, and each mm-hmm. person has to keep doing that. I feel that like right now, somewhere there is like a 10-year-old Chinese kid. Maybe he's in the 626. Maybe he's in Queens.
Yes,
and he's the guy who's going to be really famous, and he's going to be famous in like 2 years. He's going to be 12, and he's going to get like a Netflix special, and he's going to be like take all of our jobs and be able to play Mrs. Swan's son or something like that. And he's the chosen one, right? He's the he's Neo, and we're all just kind of like blocking for him for now. You know what I'm saying? We're just kind of like we're setting the way for him, and then he's going to like rocket ahead of us. You know?
He's the Avatar. He's
oh shit! Whoa! Yeah.
Whoa! No, but truly though, like speaking of like it's cool that what we even talked about on this podcast today, there could be a teenager listening. You know what I mean? That we just inspire them to, you know, be more open with their Asian parents. Yeah. Or we just inspire them to, you know, speak up in a hot tub full of white people. You know what I mean? And like not be afraid.
Let's talk about herpes. Yes.
You know what's so funny? I'm thinking about the hot tub of white people as a soup that's bland with no flavor. And then the Asian adds a little bit of MSG and a little bit of chili oil, you know? It's like, it's a soup.
I'm more of a dry seaweed, but I get you're more.
Yeah, he's more of a miso.
My bad. You're Japanese. He's Vietnamese. Yeah. I'm Chinese.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Look at this trio.
Put some garlic in there. Yeah.
For everyone listening, kill fuck Mary. Okay. but anyway, the point is, I ended up telling my mom. I was like, hey mom, you know this character that I booked, you know, the show that I'm about to do, like the character is a lesbian. And she's like, oh, okay. Like, okay, cool. That's fine. And then I was like, well, no, but here's the plot twist, honey. I was like, well, I originally said I am as well. Like, because, okay, I call myself a proper bi. Like, I'm pure bi. You know what I mean? Like, I really, but in that moment, I decided to just lean into it as much as I could. And I was like, I am too. Like, I didn't say bi at first. I just said, oh, I also essentially like women. And she was, like, definitely in denial. It was, like, 45 minutes of me crying. And here's the thing. Like, I was in tears. And, like, Ellen kind of talks about it. Like, whenever you come out, you're the one crying because this fucking weight, like, this 20-something years of a weight on your shoulders is finally lifted to the one person.
The one person
that you've been wanting to tell. You know what I mean? And, like, anyway, it was just like, well, she was like, well, maybe, you know, well, a lot of people, you know, date women and then they end up marrying a guy. Like, she was saying some problematic stuff. My mom got canceled in that 45 minutes.
You canceled her on Twitter.
Not a good time for her Twitter, for sure.
But now she's back, uncanceled. She's literally like my everything, right? So you want her to, I'm trying to like, you know, teach her now and not. Oh, it's funny because I had this moment of like, I said something like, I can teach you like about this world. And then she was like, what? Like, she thought I meant like, you can be gay too.
Hey,
yo,
get on this magic carpet here.
You know what I mean?
That's the most immigrant mom reaction ever. I love it.
She's like, no, I don't know, whatever. But little things were said. Oh, we just had lunch with my manager, Colin, who's a very handsome man. And she was like, I was just thinking like you and Colin would be so great together. And I'm like, mom, can you focus? But like this little thing she kept saying, you know, and I was like, should I tell grandpa? And she was like, you want to give him a heart attack? You know, like very classic Asian mom responses. Right. And, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. Anyway, when she was like, a lot of women like, you know, date women and like, then get married to a man, whatever. That's when I was like, no, I like guys too. I like both. And she was like, you know, maybe you haven't like dated at all or something like that, you know, because once again, she thought I was like naive. Yeah. I was like, mom, I've done it all, honey. Like, I was like, I have done it all. And like, this is just what it is, whatever. Anyway, it was a lot. But it was just emotional and like, I felt really amazing afterwards, you know, and this was in 2018 when I booked The Trouble. And the point is, it's still a conversation because, you know, even now she still talks like, oh, you know, you got to freeze your eggs because she was like, I don't care who the husband is. Just give me a grandbaby.
There you go.
But then, like, a part of me wants to be like, or wife. You know what I mean? Like, just she's right. still in that. I feel like she's still in a little bit of denial. But the point is, I'm still, you know, there's still progress in the sense of, like, now she knows things like what LGBTQ stands for. You know what I mean? Which which wouldn't have happened if I didn't book this role. And it goes back to representation. It always goes back to representation. You know, like this the fact that I got the opportunity to play this role, to represent, I'm now able to talk about, you know, being a queer in the Asian community and, you know, the conversations that we've been so scared to have, you know what I mean? Even in the show, Good Trouble, spoiler alert, but I come out in the season finale of season one finale, and it's just such a beautiful scene and things that I didn't see when I was growing up. And, you know, if that mm-hmm. scene can help someone Asian, you know, who's in the middle of Ohio, you know what I mean? And like,
I'm from Ohio. Like, I just want to talk to some girls.
That doesn't national ethic. But you know what I mean? Like, it representation fucking goes a long way, and like a little goes a long way, and like the stuff that I'm doing, you know, off camera, and the stuff that I'm doing on camera, it truly is like. You know, we're out here, and I'm just excited to keep doing it.
Well, I'm so glad, and it sounds cool that there's like progress being made, and you're working on. You're still having those. It's one dim sum meal at a time that we're gonna win people over. You know,
yes, honey.
And if you're out there, and if you're a young person who wants to have a conversation like this with your parents, do what Sherry did and book a role on a major TV show so that you can have this very awkward conversation.
Because otherwise there's no chance.
Just keep eating your meatball.
Yeah. Keep holding it
once you're on a billboard, your mom can't say shit. You know? Like, she's so proud, you know, that now it's like this, like, you know, the ball's in my court.
I feel that, like, you know how at high school kids, they'll like ask their prom date out by like putting some really crazy thing up, like putting will you go to prom with me on the billboard. We should do that for Asian kids who want to have a conversation
with their parents.
Hey, look at me, go to the corner of Wilshire and Olympic, and then we can have a conversation.
Hey, mom, it's me. I have herpes.
Hey, check it out.
No, I'm pregnant. I should have saved the coming out for when I win my Emmy. And like, just
yeah.
Like,
oh, just shit.
In the speech. Fuck.
That would have been wild.
All right, back to the lab, everybody. You know? So. Yep. So we are back with our guest, Sherry Cola. Comedian, rapper, extraordinaire, and we are going to do everyone's favorite segment. It is Das Race News. And this is an interesting one. This is there's a couple of layers to this one, but basically what happened is, and Sherry, we sent you this article, but
yes, I read
a couple weeks ago, the New York Post, which is a total rag. Outed this EMT. There's an EMT who has an OnlyFans page, and we, you know, hey, Fumi and I, we're always joking about OnlyFans. We think about starting one. Why not?
We're here for it. I love it.
Yeah, exactly. And this New York Post article, this douchebag, outed this EMT person for having an OnlyFans, and then this medic went on and kind of explained her side of the story, right? So she talks about how I'm the medic who the New York Post outed as a sex worker. This is the real story. And there's some really interesting things about, I want to talk about, I think, the fact that there is an EMT and this person grew up in West Virginia.
Half Asian, by the way.
She's half Asian.
Yeah.
Yep, she's a young person. She's in her early 20s, and you know she's trying to do this in order to make more money because EMTs don't make shit. You know?
They make $15 an hour. It said that's the minimum wage. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy because like there's like different levels to being an EMT, and like the first couple levels, you're like a you know, a fucking, you know, you're like a scrub, really, you know, like you're just starting out. It could be a good job, but it takes a long time to become like a full paramedic. You know, it takes a lot of work. At first, you got to like really struggle in order to make any kind of money. So this person, this EMT had an OnlyFans, you know, they're getting out there. She's a, you know, she's a sex worker getting out there doing her thing. You know,
one of the things that was kind of not cool is the guy who outed her. He wrote this article, and one of the quotes is, "Other EMTs and paramedics make more money by pulling extra shifts instead of pulling off their clothes."
Ooh, look at this writing, huh?
He fucking, you know,
someone get the Pulitzer out.
But then AOC came back at her and said, like, leave her alone. You know, she said the real headline here should be, the actual scandalized headline here is, medic in the United States needs two jobs to survive. Which is like, that's such a mic drop. I fucking love AOC, man. She fucking, that's a mic drop moment.
Listen, AOC called her. AOC called her.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yes, yes. But yeah, what are we thinking about this?
I think it is the bigger conversation of, you know, paramedics, like these are essential workers right now. Like they're doing much more than we're doing, you know what I mean, in terms of COVID.
Oh, like, way more. Yeah.
And they need to get paid more. So this is a bigger conversation. And so I'm almost happy that this, like, you know, came to surface because of that. And like the bigger conversation here also is what is the crime in having a fucking OnlyFans? You know, it's like literally it's, we have to just normalize it and stop, like, you know, shaming things like OnlyFans and, like, or even, like, stripping. Like, you know, there's our single mothers who are, like, trying to feed their children and they have to do what they have to do. You know, things like that. And homegirl Lauren was just, like, you know, not making enough and, like, OnlyFans is popping. Like, why the hell not? What is the difference between OnlyFans and TikTok at this point?
Oh, yeah. So true, bro.
You know, I'm like...
Well, it's so true.
Nudity is art, okay? It truly is. There are fucking statues.
Oh shit, we're going there?
Listen,
we're going there.
I have a PhD in Zoom. But there are fucking naked statues of people everywhere. Yet when it's like in an app, you know, being sold for that reason, like there's naked art everywhere and it's sold for millions. Yet when you're fucking trying to be self-made and, like, you know, I mean, listen, it's another conversation here. It's like, why are we shaming something like this, but this other thing is okay, you know? And like, especially when it comes to the situation when she's, you know, literally, first of all, her dad also ended up getting corona. Did you see that?
I swear to God, I thought you were about to say her dad also got an OnlyFans. You hear that? Heard about the news.
Because OnlyFans.
He's banging. He's banging. Yeah.
Because OnlyFans works like T-Mobile, you have to get the family plan.
You got the family plan. Everybody shares data. You share data and you split the proceeds. Yeah, I get that. I feel that. Yeah.
Dude,
it's a lot. It's a lot. But honey, I'm happy this came to light and like people are having her back, which is dope. What do y'all think?
I mean, let me say this. First of all, do any of you guys subscribe to an OnlyFans? Have you guys made that mistake? Has this happened?
I haven't.
Okay, I've subscribed to like 7.
Oh, shit.
And I subscribe for 1 month and I unsubscribe immediately because I just want to try out for a month. And it's like, it's fine. It's actually, I think in March I was subscribing to the wrong ones, but the amateur ones, like the one this lady did, are the good ones because they're not like their shits. A lot of times you'll sign up for like a famous porn star's OnlyFans, and then the next day you see the same video on Pornhub.com, and you're like, why would I pay for this shit, right? But the amateurs, they, you know, you can't find that shit anywhere. But the real cool thing is, you get to DM with the OnlyFans people. So right now, I am DMing with some famous porn stars, and I gotta say, it is brightening up my day, ladies and gentlemen. It's a good time. You can talk to these people who are famous on the internet. So like, I don't see what's wrong with it. It's a lot of fun, and the money goes directly. We have a goddamn Patreon, for God's sake. What is the difference?
Fantastic.
Support small businesses. Support small businesses, okay? That is...
We always joke around about how comedians and we've had Asa Akira on, we've had conversations like this before, but like the path of a comedian and a sex worker, I feel is very similar. You're putting out content, you're trying to get a fan base, you've got like, I mean, shit, like I could 100% see somebody saying that this podcast, and in many ways is far, far more problematic than just a few nudes. Way more.
For sure. I mean, first of all, we're not even cute. Okay, this girl's actually cute. Hey, we're not even, we're visually offending a lot of people just by being
terrible.
Sixes straight Asian guys. That's like, yeah. Who wants to fucking see that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, who wants to see this bad dancing?
Hey,
you know?
Wait,
so,
I'm bringing the numbers up today. Right.
Well, you're bringing the numbers back up. You're bringing the numbers back up. And if you want to see more, check out our OnlyFans where we've got Sherry Cola. But it's all just her wearing different hats.
Yeah,
we are way more not safe
for work than any fucking OnlyFans.
Way more.
Holy fuck. Nudity and like, listen, everyone needs to make money and like, fuck. There's weirder jobs out there, you know, and that don't get shamed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the guy who cleans the pole at the stripper. That guy, nobody could, if he gets to a strip club. That's a job, by the way. There's a guy after every dancer, like a weird guy comes in, sprays the pole and like wipes it. Nobody talks about that guy. You know, that guy's making $8 an hour, whatever it is. But here, you know, this person here is just trying to be more honest, trying to make more money. P2P, if you will, peer to peer.
You know what?
That's a pole worker.
Yeah.
Hey. UCB improv training. UCB improv training.
Well, thank you very much. That has been Race News with Sherry Cola.
Love it.
And that was our show, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Sherry Cola was our guest. Thank you so much for joining us. Sherry, where can our fans find you?
Just look me up on Instagram, Sherry Cola. That's where I am, honeys.
You got a podcast or anything like that? YouTube page, anything like that?
It's been a conversation for many years, but I haven't committed yet. I can't commit quite yet, honey. But it's coming. It's coming. I'm sure it's coming.
She's definitely busy. Check out her amazing Vietnamese accent and check her out on Good Trouble playing on Hulu.
That's amazing.
Yep. And where can our fans find us, Fumi?
You can always find us at AsianNotAsianPod on all platforms. I'm also on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at TheFumiAbe. That's TheFumiAbe.
And you can find me on Instagram at NicePantsBro.
Please leave a review if you're an iTunes listener and check out our Patreon, patreon.com/AsianNotAsianPod for bonus episodes, behind the scenes stand-up stuff. We release extra race news on there. We got some feedback last night. We might do a live Twitch streaming where we play Among Us. Like, we're just gonna try to release a bunch of funny content this winter because we can't go outside. So please join us. For $5 a month, you get access to all this cool stuff. And you also get a shout out on the podcast. And we've got a Zoom stand-up comedy show, which Sherry would love to have you someday if you do Zoom shows.
Please.
I know some people don't do that. I promise you, I know Zoom shows can be weird. Our show is good. It's a fun time. Our fans are so adorable. They love comedy. And I think it'd be a great time. So
you have good fans.
I think the next one's going to be
January 8th.
Because next week is Christmas and the week after is New Year's. So come back January 8th. We'll have a producer reach out to you. It'll be a good time. But,
we
love you. Sherry, thank you so much. Everybody have an amazing Christmas.
You.
Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Happy New Year.
Happy
Stay
holidays.
The goddamn inside. Happy holidays. We love you, Anals. Bye.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.